Y'all can say. I don't know why I got skipped over. It's like, I got the what? I got the fashion sense. Yeah. I wear matching shoes. Hey guys, if you want to get your outline out, we're going to finish up. We're in the 14th, part 14 of spiritual growth through prayer. I started this off with Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. When we pray, we get an answer. I know the song says, thank God for unanswered prayers. And it's just not true. Every prayer is answered. Angels are dispatched to every one of them. I think what he meant was they weren't answered the way we wanted them to. And I gave you last week three of the many reasons that God says no. There's a lot of reasons. And I gave you three of them last week, but I gave you a word of caution. And I want to give that to you again. Use these to comfort yourself, but never use them with someone in pain, because you don't know why God said no to them. So don't use them to comfort anybody else. The three I gave you, reasons that God says no, is God says no when he has a bigger perspective. God sees things that you and I can't and don't. Then I said God says no when he has a better plan. Our plans are nowhere as good as God's. Then God says no when he has a greater purpose. God has a great purpose for you and me. And our hens, our prayers are just not going to hinder them. His purpose is going to happen. So we know why he says no sometimes. But what should we do? What should I do? What should you do when God says no? We'll jump right into this. I'm not going to speak long today. I want to do something kind of special for you at the end. Number one is this. What should I do when God says no? Number one, trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Trust that God does everything in goodness and love. Guys, I want to tell you, after 20 years of pastoring and learning and growing in Christ, I found out that God doesn't do anything unloving. God doesn't do anything evil. Everything that God does is for our own good and because he loves us. Psalm 25:10 says, all the ways of the Lord are what? Loving. All the ways of the Lord are loving. God is love. God cannot act in an unloving way. Romans 8:28, one of my favorites, is this. In everything, God works for the good of those who love him. Work for the good of those who love him. You and I need to remember that. And we need to trust that God does everything in goodness and in love. And in love. And even when he says no, he does it in goodness and in love. I'm going to tell you something. What happens when God says no? It just seems like it happens every time. Satan starts shooting these darts of doubt at us. And we'll think thoughts like God doesn't care. And God doesn't love us. If he loved you, Jim, he'd give you everything that you want. I want to tell you about Satan. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. Satan is a liar. God loves you and he cares. But a lot of you folks that may be overthinkers and you kind of need to know the whys and the whats and the whys, I want you to write this down. I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love. I don't have to understand God's answer to know that it's motivated by love. God loves me and you too much to give us everything that we ask for. So really, when God says no, here's what I think that we have. We have about three options when God says no. I know Friday night at Glow, y'all used a lot of RE words, didn't you? I want to give you three options when God says no. Write these down. You can resist, or you can resent it, or you can relax. In the spirit of Glow, I want to give you that. We can resent it. I mean, you could resist it, what I should say. Resist it just means you just fight God. And, you know, when he says no, you get mad at him and you turn your back on him and you say things like I did when I was a kid. All right, if you ain't going to play the way I want to play, I'm just going to take my ball and what? Go home. You want to play the way I want to play, I'm leaving. Take my ball and go home. And I know a few people who have walked away from God mad because he said no. They didn't trust that he had a bigger perspective. They didn't trust that he had a better plan. They didn't trust that he had a greater purpose. So they resisted. And they walked away in rebellion. Or maybe the next one would be resented it. They resented the no. I can tell people that resent it. They become bitter and miserable. I mean, they doubt God's love for them. I know folks my age that have lived their life so far in their 50s in misery. In misery, I should say. They're miserable because they're resentful. And they have never accepted the fact that God only does good things in their life. And that's a fact. He only does good things. Or, the third one is this. When God says no, you could just relax. You could just relax by link. See, buddy. I like link. What I mean by relaxing is this. Knowing that God always has your best interest at heart. When you know that, you can relax. When it doesn't make sense and you don't understand it, and it's so painful. And you say things, I know it's not good what's happening to me right now. I know it's not good, but I know this. God, just like Natalie just sang, you are good. You are so kind to me. You are loving. You never stop loving me. Even in this pain, your love still remains. I love that song she just sang. They sang it in the 9 o'clock service. You're so good to me. Number two. Here's the second thing you should do. It's when in pain, pray what Jesus prayed facing the cross. Facing the cross. We just celebrated Easter and what happened at the tomb after the cross. But the night before Jesus went to the cross, Jesus prayed a prayer, place was called the Garden of Gethsemane. It was a lot of olive trees. It was Jesus's most favorite place to go pray. And he's there in these olive trees, and he knows the next day he's going to begin suffering. He's going to start being tortured, and he's going to be spit on. He's going to be rejected, and he'll eventually be beaten and then crucified. And Jesus is praying, and he doesn't want to go through this pain no more than you and I do. He just doesn't want to do it. And the Bible tells us in that agony, he went to the garden to pray. And that prayer that he prayed is the same prayer that you and I should pray when we're in pain. Mark 14, 35, 36 says, going a little farther, Jesus fell to the ground praying that, if possible, he might not have to suffer what was ahead of him. Jesus prayed, Abba, my Father, all things are possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will, not mine, to be done. Jesus is in agony here. He knew that the cross and the crucifixion was ahead of him. And he's praying. He said, if it's possible, God, I don't want to do this, Dad. I don't want to do this. If there's any other way for the salvation of the world, I don't want to do this. What I got from that is this. It's okay when you and I pray to say, Abba, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to face what I'm having to face right now. I don't want to face what I'm going through. I don't want to go through this. Whether it's cancer, whether it's surgery, whether it's divorce or death, it's okay. And tell God, I don't want to go through it. I don't want to go through it. It's okay. I think that there's three things that we should always pray and how we should always pray when we're in pain. Write these down. I got it titled The Right Way to Pray. The first thing we need to do is affirm God's power. Affirm God's power. We get this from this verse where it says, Father, I know you can do anything, or all things are possible for you. I know you could take care of this. And so we need to affirm God's power when we pray. The second thing we should do is ask with passion. Ask with passion. It says, Father, please give me what I ask. Be passionate in your prayers. Please give me what I ask. Jesus said, take this cup of suffering from me, please. Guys, I want to tell you, it's okay for you to ask and to pray that way. And sometimes he will take it away. But sometimes he won't. Sometimes he won't. Then the third thing to do is, as you pray, is accept God's plan. Accept God's plan. He says, however, what I want most is your will. Your will. He says, I don't want to go through this, but nevertheless, I want your will more than mine. I want your plan. I want your purpose. He says, I want your perspective. I want your will more than I want mine to be done. And guys, when you and I pray that prayer, God smiles. You know why? Because he knows we trust him. When we pray for his will more than our own, he knows we trust him. Number three on the back side of your page is this. Expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. Expect God to give his grace to handle his answer. What's grace? His strength. His power. Grace is God's power to handle the pain. Unmerited favor. Grace is God's power to do the right thing anyway, even when it's painful or even when it's not popular. You guys remember the Apostle Paul, don't you? Some of you guys. He's like Jesus Jr. I mean, he's number two, in my opinion, about going through the New Testament. You know, Jesus and then Paul. And even Paul didn't get an answer that he wanted to all his prayers. He had something called a thorn in the flesh is what he called it. We don't actually know what it was. All we do know is that it was a lifelong problem that caused a lot of great pain in his life. And so he says, God has blessed me so much that he gave me this problem. He gave me this thorn in my flesh to keep me dependent on him. But he prayed several times and he asked God to remove it. And God said no. Let me read you what he wrote in 2 Corinthians. Three times I prayed to the Lord about this and asked him to take it away. But his answer was, my grace is all you need. For my power is greatest when you're weak. Paul said this, so I gladly boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power can flow through me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm not going on my power. I'm going on God's power. Now, there's a lady came by. Some of you guys, I know it doesn't seem that way. A lady came by the diner, and she was wanting to do a video interview of me to put on some page in Bartow County. And I said, can I think about that 2 or 3 days? And she said, well, I was kind of wanting to do it here while I was having my burger. And I said, well, I don't know. It makes me nervous. She said, here, preacher, y'all are good behind cameras. And y'all are good at speaking. I said, I'm not. I said, it scares me to death. You see, I'm still scared of public speaking. And I still get sick in the pits of my stomach. And I prayed a lot over 20 years for God to take that away. And he ain't. I still get nervous. I still get scared every Sunday morning when I come up. I get scared when somebody calls me out and wants me to pray at a bunch of people gathering and stuff like that. I still get scared. But through all that pain and through all that nervousness, God has shaped me through it. And I've learned to depend on him even more and more every day. Because God says, Jim, my grace is all you need. You don't have to be the gifted speaker. You don't have to be any of that. My grace is all you need. That doesn't seem like a lot to a lot of people, but if it's what you're afraid of, it's a lot. But here's what I found out in 20 years as your pastor. Everything that I've learned in life, I've learned from pain. I've learned nothing from pleasure. Not a thing. I've learned nothing. I have learned nothing from, let me tell you this, I've learned nothing from praise and compliments. I've learned nothing from having my picture in the paper. I've learned just about everything from criticism and attacks. I've learned most of what I know. And I've prayed about those the most, the thorns in my flesh. And God has chosen not to remove them. Now, like I said, it doesn't sound like a lot. But I always try to remember this verse most Sunday mornings over in the book of Job. Old Job said, though he slay me, I'll trust him. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. Now, I'm not fighting and almost getting killed. But I'm scared. I'm sick at my stomach. But though he slay me, I will trust him. If God never said yes to another prayer in my life, I still owe him the rest of my life. And you do too. If God never said yes to another prayer in your life, you still owe him the rest. All the things, if you consider all the things that he's done for you and I, guys, he's got a better plan. He's got a bigger perspective. He has a greater purpose for you and I. I'm closing up here. I want you to write this question down. And I'd like for you to think about it this week or today. What have you been praying about so far that hasn't happened? What have you been praying about so far that hasn't happened. You see, God has a bigger perspective. You may have been praying about somebody to love you. As your pastor, I want that too. I want that too. You've been praying for that and nothing's happened yet. God has a bigger perspective. I want you to not rush it. He may be protecting you from a goon. You may be wanting to rush it and fall in love with the first guy that you've ever met, that you went out with. And the guy doesn't call back. It might be the Lord protecting you from a goon. You may have went out with a young lady and just fell in love, tripping over your tongue over her. And she doesn't answer her phone when you call. God may be saving you from some pain. An unforeseen problem. I guess what I'm saying is relax. Roll with it. Trust Him. Don't try to force the issue. Okay? Relax. God has a better plan. You may be going through a divorce. You may be going through a death in your family right now. I want to tell you, God's got a plan for your life. The whole story hadn't happened yet. God's not finished with you. Your story ain't over. You're just flipping through chapters. You're going through chapters. He's not finished with you. God has a greater purpose for you. And right now, expect that He will give you the grace and the power to handle it. I love this saying. It comes from Romans 8. He'll never put more on you than He puts in you. He'll give you the grace and the power. Psalm 9 says, those who know you, Lord, will trust you. You do not abandon anyone who comes to you. What that tells me is this. If you don't trust God when He says no, it means you really don't know Him. If He closes that door and you just don't know Him, because if you knew Him, you would trust Him because He's good and He's loving. And if you don't know Him, you could start knowing Him today. Today's a good day. Now, I'm going to read you a poem. It's one thing that my son and I have in common is our love of poetry. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read this poem. And I'm going to ask Lee and Natalie and whomever's going to come sing. And I'm going to ask them to sing. Then I would love to pray for you. I'm going to come down here. And I'm going to ask you to, Fred's here if I need some help. I'm going to ask you, if you would like for me to pray for you, to please come down. This is where I want to end this 14 Sundays of spiritual growth through prayer. Give me something in a few words that I need to pray for. In a few words. Don't come down here with no epistle. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray a short prayer for you. We got to eat sometime today. He listens to short prayers too. All right. And I'm going to ask you not to leave. Don't leave the building until we get through. Would you do that for me? We're going to be fine. The restrooms will still be open. Parking lot won't be bad. Let me read you this poem. It's by Russell Kelford. It's called You Are Who You Are for a reason. You are who you are for a reason. Here we go. You are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect, unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what He wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones He chose. And no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind. And they bear the master seal. No, that trauma you faced was not easy. And God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into His likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the Master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God. Heavenly Father, thank You for making each one of us who we are. Amen.